Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. John's first epistle letter, the third chapter, which you heard read earlier. Please be seated. The Feast of All Saints Day arose from the Christian tradition of honoring the martyrdom of the saints on the anniversary of their martyrdom. But after the centuries went past, there were so many martyrs, named and unnamed, the church decided to celebrate their memory on one specific date, and November 1st was selected. And we observe it today as we name our dead before the Lord. Those members here at St. Timothy who have died in the faith since last All Saints Day. We also remember those who have died in infancy, the miscarried, the aborted, and the stillborn. Also those who have been martyred for the sake of Christ. But make no mistake, the purpose of All Saints Day is not to worship the saints. As Lutheran Christians, we neither worship nor pray to the saints who have gone before. Scripture is clear. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. The word saint means dedicated to God, holy, sacred. To be a saint means to be set apart and belong to God, dedicated for his service. And that means that every Christian, dead or alive, is considered a saint. It's not because of the virtuous and holy life that they live or have lived, but it is only on the account of the virtuous and holy life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, which is imputed to sinners by means of baptismal waters. At the font, white or sin-stained garments are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. It is there that God takes sinners and makes them saints. Simultaneously, sinner and saint, he takes those who were once dead and makes them alive in Christ. And this includes those children who died prior to baptism, whom, while alive in the womb, they were brought to Christ and commended to him in their parents' prayers. We remember the saints who have died and rest from their labors because of their faithful witness and true faith. That is, their faith in Christ, the one and only Savior the world will ever know. And death seems to be a hard topic to talk about. Many people refuse to discuss the subject. And it's usually probably because death is connected with some suffering, hardship, pain, sometimes tragedy. But death is common. People die every day. And unless you are still alive on Judgment Day, you too will experience an earthly death. Scripture teaches us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It is true, losing a loved one is painful. It hurts because that's someone you deeply cared about. You alone know the connection you had with that person. You alone know how deep your love was for them, and their death leaves a big hole in your heart and a hole in your life. But there is a love much greater than human love, and it's a love that gives hope to all who grieve. It's a love that is incomprehensible. It goes beyond all human imagination, and that love is the love of your Heavenly Father. The love he has for you and for all the saints who from their labors rest. And what kind of love is this? St. John writes in our text, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." John is writing to baptized believers in Christ who are simultaneously sinners and saints, just like you and me. God loves you not because of your lovableness, but because in spite of your unlovableness, he desires that you be his child. He gave you the right to become his child because of Christ. And so you are. Even though you're a sinner, God sees you as a saint, a child of God, because of Christ. As a sinner, you daily battle against the unholy Trinity, wrestling with temptations of the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. The good that you know you should do, well, you leave that undone and you go out and do the wrong things that you know you should not do. And even when you desire to do good, your good deeds fall short and you end up doing the sinful things that dwell within you. But from before the foundation of the world, God saw you in your sin and transgression, and he loved you. He provided a way that you could become his child. And he showed his love for you that while you were still a poor, miserable sinner, in all of your unlovableness, Christ died for you so that you might be called a child of God. And so you are. You are a saint, a child of God. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, God made you his child and saint in baptism, uniting you with Christ's death and resurrection, pouring his love into your heart through that same Holy Spirit. You were given all of Christ's gifts, one for you on Calvary's cross. They're all one for you on your behalf, and your sin-stained garment is washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb. So though you are a sinner, for the sake of Christ Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, you are a saint. And because you are a saint and child of God, the world wants nothing at all to do with you. It didn't want anything to do with Jesus. It hated Jesus first, so the world will hate you. It does not know you because it does not know him. And people who are opposed to God are by nature opposed to those who believe in his Son. You will be persecuted for the defense of the hope that is within you. But Jesus says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, to be sure, you and I going through this daily life, even though we are saints, we still will stumble and sin along the way. You and I daily sin much and are nothing more than poor beggars before God. The devil's going to accuse you of your sin, saying that you can't be a child of God. Look at all your sins and your guilt, all the rotten things that you do. God doesn't love you. The devil will stop at nothing in attempt to steal your faith, causing you to suffer every sort of trial and tribulation. Suffering, pain, the death of loved ones, and the testing of your faith. Yet each one of these personal tribulations points forward to the last day, the great tribulation at the end of the world. And you have God's promise that as one of his saints, because of the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, God rescues all of his saints, all of his children, out of their tribulation. In our text, John writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears,
We shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So Scripture proclaims, right now, you're baptized, you believe you are God's own child. And that is the hope of every Christian. That same hope that comforts the grieving. Now, in the dictionary, definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire. Worldly hope is not the same as Christian hope. Worldly hope is a fluttering sensation of wishful thinking down inside somewhere. But Christian hope is entirely different. Christian hope is grounded on something that is outside of us. It is a confident trust in what is unseen, grounded in the promises of God's word. Christian hope is yours because God has not only called you his child, but he has made you his child through the innocent suffering and death and resurrection of Christ Jesus on your behalf. And your Christian hope doesn't stop there. Christian hope is knowing that one day you will be like him. Now, that doesn't mean that you are going to become God. It doesn't mean you are going to become like some sort of a God, like some of the false religions teach. In his lectures on the first epistle of John, Martin Luther says, "For God is infinite, but we are finite creatures. Moreover, the creature will never be the creator, yet we will be like him. God is life. Therefore, we too shall live. God is righteous. Therefore, we too shall be filled with righteousness. God is immortal and blessed. Therefore, we too shall enjoy everlasting bliss, not as it is in God, but the bliss that is suitable for us." In eternity, you will see God as he is. But on this side of heaven, our finite minds cannot comprehend it. Words cannot accurately describe it. It can only be described figuratively, as St. John did in his book of Revelation that we heard in our first reading. And like the saints who have gone before, you know that you live and love only by God's grace. He loved you first. He sent his son to win victory over sin, death, and the devil just for you. And then he set you apart and adopted you in holy baptism, purifying you, washing your robe, making it white in the blood of the Lamb. And every morning when you awake and make the sign of the cross, confessing your sins, confessing your doubts and your failures. And then as you remember your baptismal promises, take comfort knowing that you have God's promise. As John writes, "Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." You are purified because your clothing has been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, that means you are free of sin's hold on you. And not just the effects of sin, but the power that sin has over you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are now free to serve and love your neighbor as God in Christ Jesus serves and loves you. Now, serving and loving because you're afraid of punishment if you do not serve and love, well, that's not true love, is it? Just as serving and loving because you somehow expect something in return is not truly love. In his Galatians commentary, Luther writes, "Good works should be done as fruits of righteousness. Having been made righteous and pure, we must do them. The tree produces fruit. The fruit does not produce the tree." Brothers and sisters in Christ, see what kind of love the Father has for you, that you should be called children of God, and so you are. You are a saint. God's own child, whom he has set apart and dedicated for his service. And it's not because of the virtuous and holy life that you live. It's all on account of the virtuous and holy life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus on your behalf, which was all those gifts were imputed to you in baptism. You were once dead, but now have been made alive in Christ. Jesus carried all your grief and sorrow, shame and sin to the cross and put it to death. And as a child of the Heavenly Father, you are his blessed saint and heir of all that is his. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You shall be comforted. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be satisfied. You shall receive mercy. You shall see God face to face. You shall be called sons and daughters of God. Brothers and sisters, blessed are you, for your reward is great in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.